In this bonus episode of Fictional Hangover, we talk about Ghostbusters, teeth nightmares, spooky makeup, and scary movies with Kat Ellis and Dawn Kurtigage. Everybody, welcome to this bonus episode of Fictional Hangover, a podcast about young adult and new adult books, series, authors, and voice actors that is full of spoilers. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Claire, and today we're talking to Kat Ellis, author of Harrow Lake, and Dawn Kurtigage, her spooky friend who also writes horror.
And we love them so much! Yay! Enjoy! So, is it time?
It's time. It is more than time. It is beyond time. It's time.
I'm so excited because this time we have two special guests and they're both terrifying.
You evil malevolent laughter.
Yes, except for one of them just disappeared.
Oh, that's even creepier. That's a haunting.
Okay, thank God she's back.
Damn our curse, damn you.
I know, our curse. So, with us today, we have Kat Ellis.
Hello!
And Dawn Kurtigage.
Hi.
Our Halloween staple has arrived. That's delightful.
That's so great.
I'm so sorry. Forgive me eating. I'm literally having a hyperglycemic attack, so I'm a little bit shaky. Just like carry on and ignore me.
I have diabetes. I know diabetes. I know that feeling. Cursed with diabetes. So eat all the snacks, please do.
Yeah, it's weird. I feel high, but also really shaky. I kind of feel like I'm in the Halloween thing, so I'm just stuffing my face with brioche.
Well, that's delicious.
And hot chocolate. It's divine. I feel very French. Sorry.
Please affect a French accent. It's fine.
Oh, la la. I enjoy the brioche for you on my computer.
Somebody grew up with hello, hello as well. Trying to explain to Amanda the police officer from Alolo and how he was pissing by in his bad French accent. Yeah. It must just be our country. It must just be a British thing that finds it, you know, and understands it.
It's okay. I love you all anyway.
Despite it.
Yes. Yes. Despite it. Yes. So, Claire, would you like to ask our very first would you rather question?
I would, and this was our would you rather question posted on our would you rather group, so if you want to answer it and vote, you must join the group. We asked, would you rather be trapped in a haunted museum or a haunted fairground? On Facebook, 55% said haunted museum, 45% said fairground. On Instagram, 49% haunted museum and 51% fairground. And on Twitter, it was 69% haunted museum, 31% fairground.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, there was a lot of debate in the comments as well. Colin on Facebook said, haunted museum for this guy right here. I love going to museums and imagining all the ghosts that could haunt the exhibits. Going to a haunted fairground leads to clowns with crossbows. And as we've established in a previous would you rather, nobody needs that sort of plot on.
Of course you do.
Look who I'm talking to.
Jennifer on Facebook said, haunted museum. Maybe there will be a ghost willing to teach me some old styles of dancing or some crazy practice lost in the woodworks of history.
Aww. Oh, that's so nice. Aww. That's so
romantic.
That's my favorite
answer. Brie Tart on Instagram said, museum, because if I'm going to get tormented all night, at least I can learn something. There's a lot of educational commentary.
Yeah, very practical.
I'm very proud of all of our listeners.
Yes.
What would you choose, Kat?
Now, I've gone back and forth on this one a little bit, but I think I would go with fairground. I mean, purely for the fact that if you're going to get chased by malevolent ghosts, fairgrounds are generally open air, so you can escape a little bit more easily than if you're trapped in a museum. But then again, you know, the downside of that is if you're going to have any final destination type, you know, getting crushed in machinery, it's going to be at the fairground, isn't it?
It is. A Ferris wheel is going to fall.
Yeah.
I mean, it's haunted. It's haunted. It's not necessarily, you know, serial killers that are alive and chasing you. I definitely think fairground as well, because the ghosts need a good time. They need some company. I want to ride the merry-go-round with some ghosties. Roller coaster with a skeleton. You know? Oh, guys, they're probably really lonely. I mean, they're just like happy ghosts, right?
So you don't have scary.
There's only so many times you go on the merry-go-round. There's only so many times you go on before you get demented. You know, there's only so many. Are the ghosts restricted to their like one ride? Right. Imagine haunting the coconut shy. I mean, that would suck.
Oh, you could have those little like shrunken heads instead of the coconuts, though, couldn't you? And they'd be haunted.
Yeah, but imagine you make friends with somebody on the roller coaster, and then you can't spend the rest of the day with them or the night with them because they're stuck haunting the roller coaster and you want to go on, you know, something else. That's just sad.
That's memories of my childhood, just running around the roller coaster in Metroland and just doing little loops because you could get from the front and the back straight away and make yourself sick that way.
We used to have a fairground in Rill near where I live and used to know one of the operators of one of the roller coasters, and if it was like at the end of the day and you asked him nicely, he'd run the roller coaster backwards. So that was like the coolest memory that I have going on roller coasters. Not haunted, but you know, give and take.
I think of you, Kat, when I think of a fairground.
Good.
It's so on brand. I love it. Plus that secret draft we talked about, which I won't discuss, but it's so on brand.
You're going to have to talk about this later. I think I'm going to go with the museum, especially if it's the one in Harrow Lake with the backwards going film, because that, like, not many things actually creep me out, you know, like horror movies and stuff, they don't scare me, but if it's going backwards, that creeps me out for some reason, so I'm there for it.
Yeah.
With you, Amanda, it's got to be the Haunted Museum, because the dream is to go to Zach Bagans' Haunted Museum in Las Vegas one day. I love that ridiculousness. And
I haven't been to that.
Really? Go and take a look. He presents Ghost Adventures on various channels now, on Sky and things. And they're just really particularly naff, but they're really, really, really good. And he has a Haunted Museum, so he's got like Ted Bundy stuff and Charles Manson's ashes, and he's done actually overnight stops, like he did a four-night pandemic special where he and his crew locked themselves in for 2 weeks during the beginning of COVID and did all these really horribly terrible experiments and recorded all. It's really good. They're all on catch up on DB. But honestly, he's got his own museum and it looks fantastic, so I desperately want to go and spend a few nights there.
Very much my thing, I have to say.
Oh, it looks amazing. So yes, Zach Bagans' Haunted Museum in Las Vegas. I will spend the night there. I will have a weekend there, in fact.
I'm pretty sure we all need to go. As soon as we can travel again, that's what needs to happen.
Oh yeah.
It's happening. It's happening. Okay. I've done an overnight in haunted places anyways, so it doesn't bother me. Whatever.
No, I got married in a haunted chapel, and then we had our honeymoon in a haunted hotel, so, again. And
did you see any ghosts while you were there?
No. I don't believe in ghosts.
No.
I would love...
Neither do I.
You've gone ghost hunting, Kat.
I have. I've been ghost hunting several times, but never seen one.
No.
I mean, I'm open to being persuaded, but I've never seen anything yet that's led me to think, oh yeah, there must be, you know, something real about this.
I'm exactly the same. I've spent purposeful, like, nights in haunted locations, ghost hunting. And, you know, when something happens and you go, that's a little bit too coincidental, that happened. You basically look at the official investigators who run the thing and go, I think it might have been you. I'm not going to say it out loud, but I think it might have been.
Yeah, I actually got called out by somebody because I wrote a blog post about one of the ghost hunts that I'd been on. And one of the participants, this woman, was like obviously putting it on, like swaying, saying she could feel things. So my blog post, I was like, you know, quite scathing about it. And then she wrote a comment under it. I mean, we hadn't exchanged names or anything, so I don't even know how she found me. This was years and years ago, by the way.
She used the psychic vibrations to find out who you were and that you'd wrote a blog to dispute it.
So I was like, okay, I'll just quietly take that post down.
Just delete.
Okay.
Oh, hilarious. Next question.
Next question. It's the teeth question. Yes. Would you rather pull a tooth out of a bloody gash in your arm or have other people's teeth poured into your mouth?
Ew.
You wrote it. It's your fault.
I know. I didn't want to live it. I have to say, actually, with the tooth in the gash in the arm, I'm not really that squeamish about, like, you know, body horror stuff. So I'd be okay pulling a tooth out of my arm, I think. I like to think so. Having teeth poured down my throat, especially teeth that weren't my, well, even teeth that were my own, wouldn't be that keen.
Me neither. I can't imagine it though.
Yeah, I don't want other people's teeth in my mouth. I mean, I have other people's teeth in my mouth right now. Like, but I guess they're plastic though. They're not real vampire teeth this time. Next time.
Are you sure? Are they not just your teeth?
I wish they were.
That would be the dream. That would be the dream.
I wish they were. But yeah, I don't want other people's teeth in my mouth. That's gross.
I mean, what's the providence of all these teeth as well? At least one tooth, you can kind of like trick your mind into thinking where it's come from. But if it's a whole bag of teeth being poured into your mouth, that's a lot of people's teeth.
Yeah.
And what if they didn't brush properly? I mean, oral hygiene is important.
Right? Exactly.
Are they new teeth? Are they old teeth? Does that make a difference?
Is there a ghoul tooth?
Robbing some graves.
Grave
have a grill?
Gross.
Oh, well, if it was a grill, that's different. I go for the grill every time.
Put other people's grills in your mouth. You do that every day.
Why not?
Gross.
Let's move on.
Okay. So, would you rather be there when all the jitterbugs come to life at once or when Mr. Jitter's puppet comes to life in the museum?
I think I would probably rather be there when Mr. Jitter's puppet comes alive in the museum, because when that happens, Lola wasn't on her own. But when all the jitterbugs come to life, she's on her own. And I have to admit, I'm like the bravest person in the world if there's somebody there to laugh at me for being a chicken. But if I'm on my own, I am the biggest chicken. So I'd always rather have somebody there with me so I can just act brave.
I love that.
That's an amazing answer.
It really is.
Yeah. It's like if there's zombies there, you just have to be faster than the next person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. What, sucker? I'd be the slowest person.
Oh, I know the truth.
Dawn, what about you?
Yeah, no, I would definitely choose Mr. Jitters for sure. It's just one thing as opposed to several moving targets. Yeah. One Mr. Jitters for me.
The jitterbugs are tiny as well, or could be small. And if you lose one of them...
I mean, I've got one here, actually. Keep this on my desk.
Glorious.
These little waggly legs. So many people who've read Harrow Lake didn't think it was a real thing, really? But I grew up collecting these things. I mean, they're so creepy anyway.
I love the sound. I love the the scratchy sound they make.
They're the type of thing to get in like museum gift shops and bookstores where they're in the pocket money stands all the time. It must just be a British thing then.
No, they're in the United States. They're all over the place.
Do you?
I'm sure Kat secretly has a room full of them, clearly.
Well, I've only kept one. The rest have wandered off at some point, probably of their own volition. So, yes, just the one.
I need to get one. I need a, you know, I need a special Harrow Lake one made.
That glows in the dark.
You should get it on that.
I need the glow in the dark one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's some merchandising idea there.
Yes. I want it on the key ring. Just kidding.
Earrings, necklace, ring. Yeah. Get you kitted out.
All of them.
Ring.
Yep. I wanna be there for the Mr. Jitters puppet too. I like puppets. I'm not afraid of a puppet, but if the jitterbugs came to life, that the sound is good. It's a cool sound when there's one of them. I can't imagine there being 72 of them all jittering at the same time. No,
it's too many jitterbugs.
Yeah. That's but I love that you remember how many there were, because I couldn't have told you how many there were.
Well, we in-depth summarize these books, so
we know. Don't forget the wallpaper as well. That was making noises and scratching noises, so it was kind of like, you know, when you go at the cinema and have the volume turned up and you can feel the vibrations in your head and it kind of gets a bit uncomfortable and a bit scratchy. That's what I kind of imagine all those jitterbug sounds being like. And then it kind of turns into something really visceral and like you can feel it even though it's just sound. No, I don't like that. At least Mr. Jitters is behind glass. The puppet's behind glass. So you've kind of got that like safety barrier somewhat.
Yeah.
Plus it's one puppet. Like, he's doing a dance. You know, how are you... You can't be afraid of the little guy doing a little dance.
No.
It is. It is entertaining. Until he starts clawing at the glass.
Yeah, oh, yeah, but if it wasn't like in 2012, somebody would be going, ooh, I'll just video that. Latest Instagram post.
Oh, my God. Okay, next question. Would you rather see Mr. Jitters or Marianne when you yourself wake up in the middle of the night?
I would have to say Marianne, because I've kind of seen Mr. Jitters when I woke up, and I'll explain this. I probably should. I have sleep paralysis dreams where, you know, when you're asleep, you can't move and you see something scary coming to get you and you're trying to sort of wake up or move or scream. And you just can't. And Mr. Jitters was kind of like born of one of these sleep paralysis dreams that I had a few years ago, where I was lying in bed and I could see this like demonic creature just moving around the edge of my bed. And all I could see was like the top of its head just moving around, just watching me and making this like teeth chattering, clicking sound. Mm. So that was kind of where Mr. Jitters came from. You know, crossed with a bit of Babadook and Slender Man, so yeah, that was where that sprang from.
That's not fun.
So yeah, I'd rather see Marianne, really.
Oh, Mr. Jitters was for me. I want to have a conversation with that guy. I think we'd be besties.
Well, he doesn't say much, Dawn.
I mean, maybe that's why. That suits me perfectly.
Good listener, yeah.
It'd be best bud.
He just hasn't met you yet, so he doesn't know. Maybe you're his soulmate.
Maybe. Clearly I am.
Clearly.
So about you two?
What would you guys think?
There, you go first.
As much as I would like to see Mr. Jitters, it will be from a distance and not like in my bedroom. Like the whole Slender Man thing's a bit freaky. It's intriguing, but it's freaky. You know, I want that like layer of protection. Marianne, she was like the childhood friend, you know, so it's not as scary and intimidating, and it would be nice to actually have that happen, like come to life.
Yeah. Although she is an imaginary friend, so that does say a lot if you actually wake up and see her in your room.
I think I've probably had that before. So it's nothing unusual. You know, it's been a few, but, you know, sometimes reality and imagination gets a little confused for me. And I'm convinced of things that aren't real. So, you know, why not? I'll see Marianne.
Sounds like a novelist to me, just like a normal day at work. So you're in good company.
Well, there you go. I'm fine. It's fine. I'll just see Marianne.
I have a question.
Kick back. Good times. Yeah.
Are they puppet sized or are they real life sized?
Yeah, it makes a difference.
Marianne or Mr. Jitters?
Either one. They both come in puppet form.
Well, Marianne is human-sized.
Okay.
And the Mr. Jitters puppet in the museum was a lot smaller, like maybe a foot.
That's creepy. I love it. Can you imagine this puppet scuttling along your floor at night? Oh, yeah. I love it.
Just taps at your foot. You know the whole urban legend where it's like, don't stick your hand out your bed because something might catch you. It's not the dog licking your fingers or the cat licking your fingers under the bed. That's the kind of the Mr. Jitters thing.
Yeah.
I feel like he's too dried out to have a wet tongue.
Yeah, but that's where it makes it abrasive. And you just feel it's like...
like a cat.
Yeah, so you get the texture from the tongue, but you don't get the moisture. And it's like, ugh, what is that? That would be creepy, because at least if it's wet, you can pretend it's your pet until you realise that you don't have one.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, have you seen the film Puppet Masters? This is like an 80s horror film.
Yes.
It's one that I used to watch in my dad's VHS collection, but there was one of the puppets, and I can't remember what she was called, but she used to like climb up on the bed and she'd like vomit leeches onto people as they were like tied to the bed. It's kind of reminding me of that.
Yeah. I want her in my bedroom.
I don't want the leeches.
All the monsters under your bed, Dawn, there's not going to be a lot of room.
That's true. We do have a crowded bedroom. I like to party.
It's not very COVID safe, is it?
No.
Go on, break the household rules, typically.
Rule of six.
You know, all my friends are dead anyway, so they're fine. They're not at risk.
You've already murdered
masks,
them.
It's fine. This one's a haunted nurse.
They're all porcelain dolls, and you know.
Leech vomiting puppets. It's fine. It's fine.
The leech one you could pretend is an old-timey doctor.
Yes. She's just trying to help.
Oh, imagine the one with the old plague mask.
I love the plague masks. I love the look of them so much. I've wanted one for years and I just thought maybe it wasn't appropriate for me to buy one in 2020.
No.
Well, I don't know.
I was in St. Mary's Close in Edinburgh. Have you been to St. Mary's Close in Edinburgh?
No.
Oh, no. It's fantastic. You'd love it. So when everything's over, you've got to go to Las Vegas and Edinburgh. And it's an original Edinburgh street that's underground as well. And it's all haunted and there's all the ghost stories and everything like that. I've done all of the haunted things in Edinburgh. It's fantastic. And part of it is you turn around, so there's like a plague mask thing. Doctor there because of obviously the cholera and the plague and all the disease that were in these close quarters. It's just like, oh, hello. And then they sell the masks in the gift shop that you have to exit through. Yay. It's so tempting to get one.
Cool.
I
mean, oh, you should.
The plague is cool. But I just want to make the plague mask my actual mask and just go around Tesco rocking it.
I've seen pictures of people do that and it's epic.
Really? Yeah. They do. Oh, I love that. I'm going
to
Google that.
Head to toe plague doctor. And then there's the old Victorian where they've got the hoop skirts and the diameter's six foot and they're just walking around. It's like, yes, I love that.
Amazing.
That's one way to clear the cheese aisle, isn't it?
Ooh,
those are my kind of people.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad it's the cheese last aisle. Question? It is. It is the last would you rather question.
Would you rather be Laura Lee, or Little Bird?
See, now Little Bird being entirely fictional, I'm going to rule her out straight away. I think I'll go with Lola.
Is she like you? Is Lola like you in any way?
She's not like me, except that she's a bit abrasive. I wouldn't say that we're that similar otherwise. But I think because I've just spent so much time inside her head while I was writing Harrow Lake, it's a very familiar space to me now. So if I was going to be anybody, it would probably be her. How about you, Dawn?
Yeah, me as well, I think. I think Lola, she's got spunk. I like the secret thing. I think that she is abrasive, and I wish I maybe was more abrasive. So she's someone I can aspire to be like. Whereas Lorelai is just the victim, right? But although she's an actress, and that's cool, but I think Lola, I'd pick Lola too.
I think so too. Lola is optimal.
She is optimal.
I think she's optimal, yes.
If the epilogue hadn't ended the way it had, I might have picked Little Bird. Mm-hmm. But with that little one-pager letter from 2 years in the future, interesting. I'm going to go with Laura. However, I'm going to totally throw off and say Cora, really, if I would prefer. Yeah. But, you know, out of the three, like I'll go Laura as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with you about Cora. If I could choose anybody to be in Harrow Lake, it would be her.
Oh, definitely.
That twist at the end where it was actually Cora being the interviewer, I was like, yeah!
And then it was even better. She's like, yeah, I'm live streaming, so deal with it.
Sucks to be you.
Look, my taser.
That's the police.
Oh, that was so great.
Did you guys post a vote for this one on social media?
No, just the first one. Only okay. The first one. Although now that we're breaking the Facebook rules and making our own groups, we can have more options on our polls, Claire, so maybe we should post it. Which one are you going to be?
I'd like to know the answers to all of them, to be honest. Especially the tooth one. I mean,
really. I would post these for a Halloween special. Because this is our Halloween kind of like episode. So I would be very happy to post these as an additional what you guys think. It's a Halloween.
They're very good Halloween questions. I mean,
they're so good. Yeah.
Halloween or Valentine's Day, one or the other.
Yeah, whichever one. Do you love teeth? I do. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Is there a National International Dentist's Day? There's probably one.
Oh, probably.
Should be.
Is there a National Mouthful of Someone Else's Teeth Day? Can we make one?
In 2021, there's a likely chance.
That's just 2020. That the year is just teeth in people's teeth.
Yeah. And there's the metaphor of the evening.
Gross. We're so sophisticated. I just love us.
This is a perfectly reasonable conversation. With bad
But you know when you see somebody with bad teeth and you just like, you can't stop looking at the bad teeth. It's gross. Imagine the laws in your mouth. Oh,
that's my point. Like, you know, if you've had sweets and you just have the urge, like I brush my teeth all the time because I can't stand anything grainy on my teeth. But imagine you have a mouthful of teeth that are like grainy and gross. And see, this is the kind of thought process I have anyway all the time. It's not fun.
I read a horrible Twitter thread. I say it was horrible, but it was one of those morbid, I can't stop reading it. And it was by like dentists, and it was the worst thing that ever encountered. And I could smell it and see it. And it was just they said they were poking at them and things were exploding because people's teeth were so bad. And just got through and basically hollow.
You had the one about the woman with the dentures, with the dentist who came to visit the woman, and she opened her mouth and there was this putrid smell. And so he said, well, let me see your dentures. And she said, what do you mean? And he said, well, let me see them, give them to me. And she's like, she was confused. She didn't realize you had to take them out and clean them. And she had maggots under there. Her jaw was
Oh my God.
Ugh.
So it was like rotting. Her mouth was rotting from this. It was disgusting.
I just physically cringed away from my camera then.
This is the effect I like to have on
people. It's nasty.
I have lots of friends.
Thank you for that.
Oh, yes. Oh,
I could never be a dentist. You know, mm-mm. All power to people who can look in other people's mouths and go, oh, isn't that interesting? Let's do something about that.
Hey, Claire, I just had a really great idea that I want to spring on everyone real quick. I think we should go back and ask them a couple of the Monstromologists, would you rather?
Yes! Oh.
Have you guys read The Monstromologist by Rick Yancey?
Not yet.
Right, I'm in there.
You need to read it. It's so good.
It's right up your alley. It's absolutely perfectly putrid.
It really is.
we'll add it to my list.
Visceral. It is.
Yeah.
My mum tried to listen to it and had to stop halfway through the summary because it was grossing her out so much.
Oh, man. Yikes. Well, do you have one that you want to ask just looking at them? Since you have it pulled up, I have it pulled up too.
We'll go with the social media one first because it's an easy one.
Okay.
Would you rather be lost in an underground tunnel system in pitch black darkness, and also there's monsters, or be on a ship out at sea in a storm, and there's monsters? Monsters.
Oh, I don't know. That's like two of my worst fears.
Yes! I'm just happy we found something that could put you off. There's so little. You're very fearless, really, Dawn.
Is it sea at night?
Can be. I mean, you're in the middle of the ocean. I imagined Dracula's crossing to Whitby in this scene in The Monstromologist. Oh, yeah. So if you picture that, that'll probably give you a good idea, I'd say.
I would have to go with the ship, I think. I mean, I'm like terribly afraid of sharks and generally anything that lives in the sea. So this probably isn't going to make much sense, but I'm even more afraid of being like in the dark, trapped on the ground. I think that just slightly pips the whole drowning with monsters kind of thing.
You know, I actually, just for that reason, I might go with the ship at sea. I'm terrified of the ocean, the depth of it. I have a fear of nothingness and a fear of depth, and I'm nyctophobic as well. I'm terrified of the dark. But I actually have, I think it's called claustrophilia. I love enclosed spaces a lot. So I think that they're both horrible, but at least I'd have a nice tight space to be in. Like the mole I am.
Lifeboats. Enough said.
Yeah.
That's true, but you still love the ocean.
That terrifies me. You know when you see the documentaries and that little boat, it's like a massive cruise ship, and then it pans back and all you can see is water. I freak out. And the idea...
See, for me, it's the depth.
You don't know what's there.
You know in those shots where they have the overhead shot and you see the beach and then it suddenly goes dark and there's freaky. A massive...
Imagine you're there and then suddenly... I mean, I know whales won't eat you. I know this. It is a fact my brain understands. But imagine meeting a whale shark, one of the biggest species of fish in the world, and its mouth's open and you're just like, shit. I'm not a strong swimmer. This would freak me out. And it's huge. And my brain can't understand the concept of these huge beasts. Like, I've seen all
Like the free divers who swim with whales. Like that lady, that there's this blonde, amazing woman. She swims to these amazing depths without any suit or without any oxygen. And she's just there with whales and just hanging out.
I don't get it. But then I don't get mountain climbing either. So, you know.
That's a lot of it.
I love heights. I love heights, so I love mountain climbing is cool.
I do not love heights. But no, thank you.
I lean over when I'm in a tall building. I like lean as far as I can. I just love it.
Nope.
To Las Vegas and you go to Zach Bacon's Haunted Museum, get yourself to the Grand Canyon and do the skywalk because you... I've laid on the skywalk and looked down like that, and it doesn't look real. It looks like somebody's painted a picture. Honestly, the pictures of me in the Grand Canyon, you just look and go, that's not real. There's a green screen behind you. That is not an actual, you are not physically there. And I'm like, yeah, I really, really am. It just doesn't look real. It looks like...
If it was me, above that vast yawning chasm, I'd just be having a little cry, to be honest.
There was somebody who was breaking down, and I'm sorry I did laugh.
Kat is the most composed. No, seriously, Kat is the most composed person I've ever met. So I would, like, pay money to see that, clearly.
You've only met three people, Dawn.
That's a harsh reality check right there. Okay, listeners, we need a GoFundMe to get Dawn and Kat and the rest of us over Las Vegas, and then we're going to go to the Grand Canyon. Haunted museums in the Grand Canyon.
Oh, man. Okay, so I want to ask...
Making a bucket list. Sorry, go on.
We do need to have a bucket list. I want to ask one more question from the Monstromologist, which it goes back to what we were talking about a little bit ago. Just a little bit of background information, since you guys haven't read this book. There's a grizzled old sea captain who was on that ship, and now he's in a sanatorium, and he hasn't taken his boots off since then, and it's been like 20 years. And he's got bed sores and just...
stinks. Flies. Maggots.
Yeah. Maggots and flies.
Rot.
Yes. He's pretty much rotting from the inside out. And then there's a species of worm that another character is infested with. And they're in his blood. They're in his tears. They're all over.
His tongue.
On his tongue, in the blisters that are on his tongue that rupture, worms come out. So, would you rather be Captain Varner with his flies and maggots or James Henry with his worms?
Flies and maggots, hands down. Little worms, no way. Little infested worms. Like, can you feel them? Can you see them in your...
It drives him crazy because they infect so much of him. He's basically like a skin sack for worms.
Yeah. And they're described as like the size of hair. Like, so they're that skinny and wormy.
Yeah. See, I would have to go same as Dawn. I would go flies and maggots because maggots don't really do you any harm. They'll only eat the parts of you that are actually rotten.
Yeah.
And having worms inside you, it reminds me of there was something that I read, like an article years and years ago, about somebody who'd eaten like the wrong kind of sushi that had been, you know, some kind of like microbial life forms, and he had these worms that just infested him, like in his lungs and everywhere throughout his body. So no to that one. No to the worms.
No worms. Okay.
No, thank you.
Okay.
Unanimous.
Great. Well, that's the end of Would You Rather, thank goodness. We're gonna end on that one. End on the worms. But you guys still have some time to answer the other questions?
Yeah.
Hooray. So this is going to be, it's going to be split into two episodes. The rest of our questions are going to be in a bonus episode, which is still available to everyone. It's just not a part of our regular episode. So there's a little bit of a break. The Would You Rather questions, I'll probably keep in both just because they're terrible and fun. But
and it means that if you refer to them, then it's fine.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So, can you tell us about your friendship? And I would like to specify, did it bloom like a tooth from a bloody gash or a worm from a cake? Or is it just regular? Just regular friendship.
It's not regular. I mean, it's brilliant. It's the best. She's the bully. I'm the victim. I'd say like a bloody gash, like a tooth. No, I'm just joking. How did we become friends? I think it was via Twitter of all places.
Yeah, I believe you stalked me and forced me to meet you for coffee and cake in a public location.
I forced it. I mean, that sounds like me. Yeah, we have a weird relationship. We talk about weird things.
Well, that's pretty much expected, though, given what we write
about. And I can't reveal Exactly. But I can't reveal what we talk about because it's all like secret plot stuff. But they're disturbing, aren't they? We eat a lot of cake.
We do eat a lot of cake. Cake and coffee is the foundation of our friendship, I would say. And weird exactly. secrets. So,
yeah, as it ought to be. And we can't tell you any because then we'd have to kill you.
So yeah, I'm perfectly not normal.
I'm a devil. It's fine. I need secrets. I'll write them down and hide them in places if that.
I was just going to say, we have secrets hidden all over the place.
That's lovely.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's lovely.
I like it when internet brings people together.
Me too. Aww.
I would just know no one if not for the internet. With COVID and me being immune suppressed and living in the middle of nowhere with sheep. Actually, that's it. That my friends would just be the sheep in the fields.
Yeah, I mean, we're very lucky in that Dawn only lives like half an hour away from me, so yeah, you know, we probably wouldn't be friends otherwise because I don't drive very far.
Yeah, it's so strange because we're both in the middle of nowhere and write creepy things. It's just fate. It was fate for us.
You basically live in a very creepy place, though.
Yeah, we do. And have you seen some of the pictures that Kat posts on her Instagram of, you know, the places that she explores? Yeah, it's very creepy and cool around here.
It's hugely autumnal right now.
There's all sorts of ruins, old castles, war bunkers, graveyards,
witches' houses,
caves.
Yeah.
I like a good cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
Can I come visit?
We've got... You can.
Okay.
Anytime.
Okay, thanks.
We'll have a ghostly retreat.
We really need to.
With cake.
That's cool.
With cake, as long as there are no
swords at the cake. I came here for the ghosts, I stayed for the cake.
I can't promise anything.
I'll bring cake. I'm the organizer out of the two of us.
I'll make cake. Yeah, I like to bake.
I'll sort it then.
It's fine.
I'm such a type B personality and Kat's such a type A that nothing gets done unless she's on it. Because I'm just like, oh, were we meeting today? Oh, right, I'm on my way, sorry. I live completely in my head and Kat's like, Dawn, we actually need to have a plan for things.
Yeah.
I like a list of lists.
Oh, I do them.
Yeah.
Have you ever considered collaborating on a book then? With all your secrets that you won't tell us, that are written down on pieces of paper and squirreled away? I'm not jealous of them.
We'd create the creepiest book ever. It would be insane. I think we could create quite an amazing creepy book, but no, we've never actually spoken about it.
I couldn't work with Dawn or any other writer, I don't think, just because I am that anal about my writing process and not wanting anybody to see it until I'm happy with it.
Oh my gosh,
I couldn't deal with it.
Always begging. I'm like Kat's biggest fan in terms of writing. I'm always begging to see drafts, and she's so annoying because she's like, oh yeah, no, I sent it to this person, but she will not send it to me until it's perfect. And so I feel like I'm waiting for, you know, the way you get when you're waiting for your favorite author to release a book and you just get really antsy about it. I feel like that. And the thing is, we talk about idea conception, so I will know storylines years maybe before they're written down, if ever. Oh, it's deeply frustrating and inspiring.
What about an anthology?
It's very lucky, but sorry.
What about an anthology? So you're not actually writing the same story. It's not by Kat and Dawn. It is an anthology. So you've got your own, that is your story. It's your individual creation, your individual beast. It just has potentially like a similar concept. I recently read that.
Do that.
Slasher Girls and Boys, have you read that?
I've got it behind me, I haven't read it yet.
Brilliant, it's brilliant. Great. Amanda told me to read it and it's absolutely fantastic. And they're all based on pop culture references, so books and movies and stories and urban legends. And so the kind of concept is take something you know and change it and that's it. But you're your own creative force, so you don't have to worry about anybody else's work ethic.
Yeah, I've actually written a novella that went into like a 3-novella bind-up with 2 other authors. That was called 3 Strikes. So I've done that before. I would allow that.
Yeah, that would be fun. I think, especially if you're working from, you know, a similar concept, like hauntings or, you know, pop culture references, like you said. That would be fun. It'd be interesting to see the different takes if you got a bunch of horror writers together and did something, some anthology bind up.
I like the idea of just like a simple concept as well, like you say, like haunted house or, you know, haunted
just fairground.
Yeah, just haunting, and then see how people approach it, because my goodness.
Yeah,
I want to read that. Can you guys get started on it? And
sure.
Okay.
If you can get it out for October next year, we'll have you back. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm still fingers crossed waiting for Teeth 2.
Yeah, me too.
Announcement on that coming fairly soon.
I'm so excited. Let's see. So we have a question. Do you have a secret to write down? And where would you hide it? You've already said that you have so many secrets that you can't tell us or you'll have to kill us. So where would you hide your secret if you're writing a secret down and hiding it?
I put them in my novels.
Like a coded way.
Oh, yeah. My novels are full of secrets.
I've just finished both The Trees Crept In and The Dead House Again. I listened to the audio version. Yay! I literally just finished 2 days ago. And now I'm thinking back. What was the hidden messages?
I do have many, many, many little hidden gems in there. The audiobooks are cool, aren't they? They did amazing.
The audiobooks are fantastic. I don't know how many times I've like squeed about them on Twitter, but they're so great. They're so great.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it's funny the conversations that we have with the audiobook producer, and she's like, I don't know what you're going to give me next, and I don't know how I'm going to deal with it, but I'm excited. You know, like with the hidden messages and things, she didn't know how to deal with that. She came up with this ingenious solution to put like whispers over the top. So clever. It's an art form.
But your books are always so intricate, and the way that you put them together, all the different formatting, hidden clues, and all sorts of different styles of things that you put in there, they have to make the audiobook really special. I mean, it would let down the book if they didn't do something extra. So of course
it's true, and I'm so glad that they have. I mean, they've done an amazing job, and the voice actors as well. I think it's such an art form.
Yeah.
And you've got an audio for Harry Lake now, haven't you, as well?
I have. I've got two different versions. I'm not entirely sure why, because, well, you know, they're both
probably a contractual rights thing.
Infused the life out of me when I was looking, because my access is different to Amanda's access.
Yeah.
And I was like, hang on. Your audiobook author's this one, and mine's narrator's this one, mine's that one. She's like, yes. Oh, not again.
You have to listen to both.
It causes so many confusion. We've done it before. We're like, and when they did this, and, no, that didn't happen. They didn't do it that way. It's like, oh. Licensing laws.
It's like the different editions with The Creeper Man being the UK title of And the Tree Crept In, the confusion that readers have thinking it's two different books, but they're not.
Which is nice when they buy both of them.
Yeah. I mean, they're the same inside, which you don't always get, by the way. If you have an author who has a UK editor and a different US editor, sometimes you get two different sets of edits. So you actually get two novels that are not quite the same, I didn't have that.
Yeah, I had that with my debut, Blackfin Sky. It has some slightly different scenes in it in each different version. So
we noticed that with Holly Jackson's Good Girl Guides. And I've since sent the British version over to Amanda because she doesn't get them, and it's just the British version is full of Britishisms, which was hilarious, like calling the caterpillar cake, which is an institution in this country, or getting a meal deal from Boots.
I love that.
You would never get that in the American version. And the American version's not out till next year, so I'm very interested to do a compare and contrast.
Yeah, I need to read that one again when the American version comes out, because when I read the American version of A Good Girl's Guide to Murder, I kept thinking, well, that's not something that we say. That's not something that we say in the United States. Why is it like that? And I kept texting Claire. I was like, what is this? Why is she hiding under her duvet? Like, we don't hide under duvets.
I love a duvet. I love my duvet.
Oh, I love a duvet. I love a weighted duvet.
So I made Claire investigate. I was like, will you please go and look at the British version of this book and see if it's this difference? And yeah, it was different. Like it's set in a completely different town. Everything is very different.
Yeah. It's fun when you're the author doing both sets of edits within like a very short time frame. That's why authors are very harried sometimes.
Yeah, that's fun in inverted commas. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when that, you know, they say, okay, can you get this for us in a week, in 2 weeks, and then the other author, the other editor's like, oh yeah, us as well, please. It's good fun.
And how you laugh long and hard hysterically because it's not fun.
Hide under the duvet.
Yes. With your chicken meal sandwich, packet of crisps, and Diet Coke on boots.
Oh my goodness,
I fancy a meal deal now. I haven't had one in years.
I was in M&S food court the other day and I was looking at the column of the caterpillars. They're flipping huge, like foot long, heavy, and you can get Frankenstein versions of them. So amazing. Yeah.
You know they sell gourmet versions that are like £18.
What?
Yeah,
I mean, I like a good piece of cake like the next person. My waistline tells you that, but that's a bit ridiculous.
But you're supposed to have one to celebrate my birthday, so get a
I will. I am, but the date was rubbish. The date was Halloween, and your birthday is the 6th of November, and I'm not going to have that out of date.
Oh, mine's the 4th.
Mine's the 11th.
Hello, Scorpios. We're 3 Scorpios. I mean, fantastic. Kat's the, what are you, the 9th? No, you're the 11th?
I am the 11th. 11-11.
I love that.
By myself as a Leo.
Get out of here.
Wow. Oh, we have a Leo amongst the Scorpions.
Get out of here, Leo. Yeah.
Take you down.
So please enjoy the fanciest call in the caterpillar cake you can for all of our birthdays. I think you have to do it now.
I was going to get one and I was going to write that word on that with disgust.
What word?
I'll contextualize. On a Wednesday night, I play Mario Kart with some friends. And because of COVID, we can't see each other. So we online. And we're not very complimentary to each other as we play. There's lots of four-letter words, lots of caps, lots of gesticulating. While we play, as soon as it's gone, the love's back in the room. And our favourite word begins with a C. And I'm not going to say it in case you're offended by it.
My favorite word.
Thank you. And usually
the Britons love that word.
It's great. It's a lovely word to say. And usually they would get a dessert from M&S, but with the restrictions, they can't because they don't live together. You know, they're not all in the same household, so they haven't bothered. But I had to go to the library to drop some books back, and I thought, oh, I'll go past and I'll get some desserts for everybody, or at least have a look at them in M&S. And I told Amanda about it, and she went, oh, you have to put a message on them. I was like, what do you think? And then at the same time, we said the same word to each other. So now I just want to get a scroll it all over this column, the caterpillar cake, and munch away.
Yeah, because I think the Americans, it's a more severe kind of swear word.
It is, but I love it.
I love it.
Did you ever see the Robin Williams skit about it when he did the studio? Inside the studio, and oh, it was amazing. Oh, Robin Williams, and he got asked what's the worst word, and he said it's the C word because it's harsh, it's guttural, you know, it's not welcoming. And they said, what's your favorite word? And he went, pussy. So it's the same thing, but it's better because pussy's warm, pussy's inviting, pussy's delicious. Oh. And he's just going on about it. I'm like, I love you, Robin. Oh, I didn't see it till after you passed, and I was like, oh, you're so funny.
You have to send me the link.
I will find it and I will send it. It's amazing.
Okay. See, I don't like that word. I'm not
really
not a fan of that word. Cunt, I'll say it all day, but
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
You see it, or read rather, pussy in a lot of the, you know, like the like serious romance novels. And it's just a bit after a while. Yeah. Just the word, not the thing. Just the word.
Just the word. I don't like the word. Yeah, you're right. Just the word, not the thing.
I mean, as a friendly sort of very British insult and quite fond of twat, which obviously has the same the same meaning.
Yeah.
But that, I love twat. You know, in America, I believe that's a lot more insulting than it is over here.
It is, and I don't know why.
People say that all the time here, and it's just common parlance almost.
It starts off when you're at school. It's a school age insult.
It feels innocent, like, yeah, school age innocent.
A school aged innocent twat is my favorite phrase from this episode, I think.
Yeah.
A South African version of that word is gwat.
Ooh.
In case you didn't
That's
know.
That's a good word.
You're a gwat.
That sounds like it might be a fruit or something.
Yeah?
I was eating a gwat yogurt.
It's good for your digestion.
Don't worry, you know.
Full of vitamins.
No, you had it in you, Kat.
I feel like we need to ask Jackson Ford about this. He's from South Africa.
We do. We need to ask him the next time we drag him on the show. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
This is completely
Yep, it is.
Yeah, seriously. This always happens to us, but this is, you know,
like,
it's delightful. It's delightful.
It's much better this way.
Pulling it apart.
There is a book kind of related to this, the whole discussion as well. We do have Harold Lake to talk about slightly.
Well, a little bit.
Yes.
It's a vicious room.
I thought you were going to say the vagina Bible. That's how far I've gone off course.
How many words do you know that means pussy?
Can this be our next book that we talk about?
20,000!
My mother-in-law used to be a teacher, and when she used to do open access courses for parents and grandparents and guardians for younger children, she used to do icebreakers, and her favourite one was, how many words do you know for penis? Make a list. And the one who came up with the most was this little old granny, and whose favourite, she was like in her 90s. She was looking after like two kids, who were her great grandkids or something like that. And she just had this massive list. And there were some new ones on there. I wish I could remember them. But she said, my favourite's the one-eyed trouser snake. I've got a truncation for one of those.
Okay. I'm going to be her when I'm old. I'm going
to
be her.
I'm looking forward to being a cantankerous old person. Mm. I feel like I'm halfway there.
Yeah, I think I'm nearly there.
You are there, Kat.
Thanks, Dawn.
Feel the love here.
Me too. I'm really feeling it. Okay, so let's get semi back to Harrow Lake maybe a little bit.
If you could only pick one storyline to be made into a movie, would it be Nightjar or would it be Harrow Lake?
I think I would have to say Harrow Lake, because it kind of still encapsulates Nightjar. You have like the hints at that story, and honestly the first draft that I wrote of Harrow Lake, that looked a lot more like the plot of Nightjar than Harrow Lake as it ended up being, and I know that that didn't work out that well, so so I think it would definitely have to be Harrow Lake.
Yeah, I think so for me as well, but I would kill to see that as a film. I would love, or a TV series actually, I'd love to see Harrow Lake on the screen.
That would be very cool.
Fantastic, would the Jitterbugs be and Mr. Jitters, and how amazing would that book be as a film?
It would be really amazing.
Yeah, it really would. Let's hound some Hollywood
hint
people.
yeah come on. I think that, like,
come on Netflix,
one of the best scenes would be like peeling back the wallpaper and then there's, you know, fingers and arms and shoulders coming out from behind the wallpaper. Ooh, I loved that scene. No.
Oh, so many good gems.
Ooh.
Would you guys pick Harrow Lake as well for the film?
Yeah, because I can imagine with Nightjar, it's there in the background and you would see it, but it wouldn't be like too in your face. I can almost see it like, you know when in movies and they do the flashbacks but it's all grainy and jittery and you can't quite see it, it's like an old film reel. So it would be that rather than a clear vision. And that's kind of what I've got in my head. It's the same as, oh god, I usually fan cast these things as I read them, but I didn't really fan cast this one because it felt like it would need a lot more new talent apart from the grandmother.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember her name and I can't.
What was she in?
Well, it's not really an actress. Okay.
Some lady that you know? Let's help you.
Some lady that I know. Do you remember Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey?
Yes.
Do you remember the grandma who was trying to get the kiss and the way she would chase them down the corridor? That's kind of the grandma that I was imagining. Not a specific actress, more the feel and the kind of like cantankerous nature and the not very nice person kind of like demanding that it's more of a feeling that I had rather than an actual person that was in my head casting. It's not a clear, I'm not sitting on a casting couch and going, ah, this person, you
do it. I know, I mean, that's absolutely the right vibe.
We need to have Nightjar as a special feature on the DVD of the movie of Harrow Lake.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Like, it needs to be Harrow Lake first, and then Nightjar is a special edition. Yeah.
Or they could make a prequel film.
Yes,
a prequel.
If they made Nightjar and marketed it as if it was made 20 years ago, a VHS copy, it would look like a VHS, but actually, like the. Mm-hmm. But it's inside, it's still like a DVD. Or they would do like open cinemas or the secret cinemas type thing where it's all very immersive.
Yeah.
A secret cinema for Nightjar.
I want a Tara Lake cinema.
Yeah. I'd like that.
I just thought of who I would want Moira to be because I went off on that tangent in my own head. But I really like one of my favorite older actresses is Lynn Shay. You know, she's in every horror movie that's ever been made and she's just the best. So I think I could just imagine like runny makeup, you know, it's like yesterday's makeup is all smudged and she's covered in flour. Mm. Like I would be there for that. I love Lynn Shay.
I think if I was going to cast somebody to play Moira, I'd probably go with Angelica Houston.
Oh, she's lovely.
I mean, she always plays somebody kind of sinister, really, doesn't she? Even when she's playing somebody likable, there's something a little bit... You wouldn't want to start a fight with Angelica Houston, would you?
She plays off very well.
Mm. Yeah.
And for me, she is still like the ultimate horror icon because of The Witches when I was younger.
Yeah.
That was like my introduction to scary movies was The Witches, really, you know, from that age. Mm-hmm. And even to this day, I'm like, ooh, no. I'll watch it, but the memories are still very strong of it being creepy.
Will you be watching the new version?
It looks a bit ludicrous. Not at all scary.
I'm going to be watching.
Oh, yeah.
Watch it, but it's not my Witches.
No.
Yeah.
But I will watch it.
Yeah. I agree. I think you can't really live up to Angelica Houston as the Grand High Witch, but I've got to give it a shot.
So maybe I'll be the Grand High Witch for Halloween.
You should.
Maybe.
So what?
I always like the fact that if you want to do the Grand High Witch, you can wear sensible shoes.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen to that.
What are you going to be for Halloween? Really? Do you know?
I'm still trying to decide. I have some devil horns, so I could do like a very poor imitation of your devil makeup. I don't know. And somebody suggested earlier, because I'd posted on Instagram, you know, what do you think I'm going to be dressing up as for this podcast? Just showing them my very delightful red bow tie. So I did have a suggestion of a zombie... Snow White. So that's a possibility.
That could
I've got
good.
The hair.
You do, and the see-through skin.
That too.
You've got it.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah.
I like that.
I might do a Michael Myers. I might get a Michael Myers mask. I've just been vibing with Michael Myers. These funny memes of him like getting dressed or in the shower or like dancing. I'm just so there for it.
That's so funny.
I remember that one Halloween where you had a party a few years ago and you were dressed as a creepy panda. That was amazing. It was the scariest.
That was so much fun. It was so much fun. I went outside. Everyone was there with their food. I went outside for some like pictures. It was, yeah, it was fun. I should dig up those photos. It was, yeah, it was cool. I think, yeah, Jen came as the cover of the Creeper Man.
Oh, yeah. That was amazing. Oh, she had all the black paint in the shape of the man.
So yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that's actually the Creeper Man. It's actually a shape of a man on the cover. Yeah. They just think it's an oil spill. Yeah.
I wish I had that one. I need to get that. I've got the trees, but I need the Creeper Man. I need to pretend that it's another.
Let me know your address and I'll send you one.
Okay. I'll do that. Yay, I need a Creeper Man. We'll round out my collection. There's a dead house over there too. You can't really see it though. They're all over there.
Excellent.
Oh. They're signed too. You signed them for me in person at ALA a million years ago.
Yes.
Wow.
I remember. I didn't at the time. I didn't remember when you mentioned it, but yeah. I think I might have a photo of it somewhere.
I've got a terrible photo of us like sticking our tongues out.
Yeah, yep. That's not on me.
Yeah. See, there's no change there.
It's the same. I have a very good question that we're getting away from books again, but I want to know what your teeth nightmares are, because everybody has horrible dreams about teeth. So what are your teeth nightmares?
I mean, mine are pretty standard. I have dreams about my teeth falling out, teeth crumbling so that they're actually like, I'm chewing and my teeth are disintegrating in my mouth. And I looked it up and apparently if you have dreams about, you know, bad things happening to your teeth, it's like a fear of change or getting older. So that makes sense. I'm very stuck in my ways.
Don, what are yours?
Yeah. I've had standard, you know, falling out. The other thing I have sometimes is that I lose pieces of my jaw. So it's like my teeth in like my jaw and my bone, like kind of, and I'm pulling them out. That's the thing, they don't fall out. I pull them out and I spit them out. But I remember one time I had a dream where the lining of my teeth kind of slipped off. Almost, you know how corn, a thing of corn has an inside, has like a skin or like a grape, and the skin was coming off my teeth. And it was during a time where I was obsessed with whitening my teeth. And I think I'd internalized maybe that they were gonna be damaged by this process. So the skin was kind of slipping off the teeth and they were perfectly white and straight underneath until I started eating something. And again, they just crumbled then. Yeah, it was a very weird sensation. So realistic. That's
very vivid.
See, my teeth nightmares are always that my teeth come out, but I can put them back in, but they don't fit in right. And so they're just kind of like wobbly around in my mouth and then they'll fall out again and then I'll put them back in. But I always put them back. They're not ever broken. There's nothing wrong with them, but they just come out and I put them back in.
I did a first aid course and they said that if a tooth comes out in theory, you can ram it back in and it'll go back. You need to seek medical attention still, but if it comes out perfectly, in theory you can shove it back in and it might reheal over it, which freaked me out a little bit.
They put a little brace on it at the back, so say for example if this tooth came out, you could shove it back in and then they put this little like brace thing until it heals and regrows into the bone. Teeth are weird.
I didn't know that. Well, I guess my dreams make sense. If I can put them back in, they'll be fine. Just stick them back in there. We'll be safe.
It's weird how we all have these same dreams of teeth and being naked and, you know, it's just universal. Mm-hmm. It's odd.
Ugh. Weird. So what is, like, your biggest fear or what is the thing in the scary book that you don't like, that you find particularly scary, or movie, or, you know, what freaks you out the most?
Have you seen the film 47 Meters Down and Caged?
No. Yeah.
Right. I mean, the film itself, I mean, I thought it's all right, but the three elements in it that are like massively scary, it's being like trapped underground, underwater with massive fuck off sharks. I mean, those three things in combination, that'll do it.
For me, it's what I write about. So it tends to be things like mirrors. If you're looking into the mirror and the person looking back isn't you or is sentient in some way. Things about something in you that's not quite you. It's usually things to do with self and duality and the monster within, or the descent into madness. That's scary. But again, you know, darkness, any kind of dark thing, any kind of nothingness like space or the depth of the ocean. But yeah, I tend to just put them in my books. So if you want to know what scares me, just read them.
There were some very common themes, especially between the Dead House and the Trees Crept In, like, because I listened to them off the bounce. There was some similar, like, especially the internalization and that sense of being trapped in your own head.
Yeah, because you can't escape yourself. Mm. That's terrifying. You know? You got to make sure you're a good place to be.
Difficult. Very difficult.
Very difficult.
So what's your favourite scary book? What's your favourite scary movie? And what do you think influences you the most in your own writing from them?
Well, I'm really, really fickle when it comes to books. Like, I can never say what is my all-time favourite because it changes.
That is a rude, it is a rude question to say what's your all-time favourite because it's very,
like, I mean,
dependent on situation.
Taken for granted that, of course, Dawn's books are my all-time favourites. One that I've read recently that I thought was really, really cool is it's a novella actually called Crossroads by Laurel Hightower. It's very short, easy read, good horror with loads of like emotion to it. It's this mother whose son died like a year ago, and she visits the place where he died on the side of the road, this crossroads, every day, you know, just sort of like go and talk to him basically, and she accidentally cuts her finger and a drop of her blood spills on the spot where he died. So that night she sort of gets a visit from the ghost of her son, and she realizes, oh, she needs to start making these sacrifices at this spot and she'll be allowed to see her son again and maybe even have him back. So she's going to greater and greater lengths with these sacrifices, and it gets really quite gory. But yeah, that was a good one to read. How about you, Dawn?
Yeah, very good. That one was excellent. It was a great meditation on grief and what people are willing to do. The desperation of that was fantastic. I'm very fairly easy to please with horror, but I like odd horror. So in terms of books, I love House of Leaves, but a recent one that I loved was Rules for Vanishing, which is also a found footage novel about a road that appears in the forest. On I think it's Halloween, I can't remember, and it takes you to this other realm, and a girl's sister went missing the previous year because she found this road, the Vanishing Road, and so she determines that she's going to go into this other realm to find her. It was deeply creepy. The way it was revealed was very, very good, and that's a YA book as well. But I always say House of Leaves because I love a good puzzle, and that's a good one. You can read it a number of times. That was a hugely influential book for me.
You bought me a copy of House of Leaves. And
yeah, a lot of people quit before they get in, and it's such a shame because it's so good.
Well, you gave me this book, and it's such a massive book, and like obviously I will get around to it, I promise, Dawn. But then you also said to me, read this book, it gets good after 100 pages. And I was like,
I mean, I loved it from the get-go, but it's a whole other level after Hunch. Oh, I just thought of another one, actually. Stephen Schbosky's Imaginary Friend was great, I thought. Again, divided opinion. Some people hate it, some people love it, but I thought that was amazing.
I haven't read that one.
It's about a boy who goes missing for 6 days, and when he comes back, he's got an imaginary friend, and it just gets bigger and bigger and darker from there.
I borrowed that one from the library and started it, but I didn't get to finish it before it was due back. I borrowed the audiobook, so you know it was just gone, so I didn't.
It's chunky, it's big, it's a big book,
I think.
But again, some people absolutely hate it. I have very Marmite tastes, so the things I love, people love it. Like I'm one of those people that if I love something and then you find people who are fanatical about it, and you find your people, and it's like a cult underground thing, or people scathingly hate it. Yeah.
I need to put that one back on hold and try it again.
Same with movies. I love Asian horror. I love like Shutter and the one about the sister. What's it called? You know which one I mean. I can't remember. A Tale of Two Sisters. That's it. A Tale of Two Sisters. The Wailing. A Dark. I could go on forever. I've got so many favorite horror movies.
Yeah, Dawn has like an encyclopedic knowledge of horror movies, whereas I will watch back-to-back horror movies and just forget every single title. Like, I'll enjoy them at the time, and obviously I do have some favourites. I love sci-fi horror, so, you know, like, the Aliens films, Pitch Black, stuff like that. I love, you know, a real alien monster coming to get you, that sort of thing. That's my bag.
What did you think of Event Horizon? Did you like
that? I loved Event Horizon.
Yes, me too.
Sam Neill, you can't go wrong.
Event Horizon got a really bad rap.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't keen on Sunshine though. That was.
I love Sunshine.
I struggled with it. I like the whole thing of Murphy,
I love the soundtrack and the distress sound of the distress beacon in Sunshine.
I have not watched Sunshine. Clearly, I am missing out on something.
You'll have to decide if it's good or bad.
It feels like ages since I've watched sci-fi horror. I prefer sci-fi horror over horror. Or I'm not a fan of slasher. I like suspense. Or if it's going to be horror, it's going to be B-movie trash.
Yeah, those are the best.
£3 Bargain Basement DVD and Asda trash.
There's some guy with his camcorder and his buddies at college, you know.
Seriously, I did watch a one. And I think it was like it was about a megalodon, and most of it was a shaky camera, and the guy just kept taking pictures of feet, just constantly putting the camera on the beach, and then just feet. And it's like, come
that's
on.
Crazy. I love cheesy horror things like Ginger Snaps. I love Ginger Snaps. I could go for days. I could go on for days. We need a whole other podcast just for horror movies.
Yeah.
My favorite of all time, my favorite scary movie is Candyman.
I love Candyman. I can't wait for the reboot.
I know. I'm so sad that it got pushed back. I mean, I trust Jordan Peele to do this the right way. And I can't wait for it.
Isn't the original Candyman going to have a role?
Yes,
as well?
Tony Todd is going to be there. Yeah. And I'm very excited.
I mean, he plays a role in my favorite show of all time, Xena. So, like, Tony Todd is,
What was he in Xena?
He was Cecrops, the immortal sea mariner.
Right.
He was cursed by Athena and Poseidon.
See, I have not watched Xena in so long, I couldn't even remember Candyman being in it.
To have a Xena doll.
I know every word of every episode ever made from Xena. Xena is my soul, basically.
Mm-hmm. Xena in years. Like, for some reason, my brother gave me a Xena doll once.
I want it.
It may have got mutilated for a Halloween costume.
How dare you? Actually, for Halloween, I forgive that. Anything for Halloween.
Yeah. It got severely mutilated and then noosed.
I'm literally, if you buy me anything Xena related, you're just my favorite person. I've got comics, I've got clothing, I've got dolls, I've got Lucy Lawless is a babe as well. So
you see how Dawn casually mentions this as her birthday's coming up.
Everyone send Dawn Xena things.
Duly noted.
You know what I love about, do you know the film Candyman, right? I love Tony Todd, the way he goes, Helen, and the music, the Cabrini Green music. Oh,
yes. So good.
Soundtrack to horror movies is often sometimes better than the actual movie itself, because that's where the chills come from, not from the visuals, from the audio.
Yeah,
and the trailers as well. I feel like the trailers sometimes are better than
that. Could be said for most movies, to be fair.
Yeah. Especially now they've started putting out these longer trailers, like 3-minute trailers for movies, and it's like, I've basically watched it now.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the cinema and they showed the first 9 minutes of Tenet, And then when I went to see it, I was kind of actually bored for that section because I'd seen it already. I knew what was going to happen in that little section. I'm like, I don't need that much. I really don't.
Did you like it? I haven't seen it. Did you like
it? I don't know.
I love his other stuff.
I don't know. And the reason I say this is because when I did go and see it, the music, the background music on the movie was too loud to the point where I couldn't actually hear the dialogue. So I missed a lot of what was going on. Kenneth Branagh's character was completely silent for me. I couldn't hear him. And that was down to the cinema and not having things balanced correctly. So visually, it looked very, very good. But I didn't kind of understand the story enough to say that I enjoyed it, because I simply couldn't follow the storyline because of the audio track being off. It looked great.
That's such a shame.
It looked really, really, really good. And I had just recently watched Inception as well to get myself in the mood. My husband thought it was amazing. Inception. My husband absolutely, he could hear it better than I could. And he thought it was absolutely fantastic. So.
Okay. Sorry, gone off track again.
I just muted my mic so you guys couldn't hear the wailing sirens. Because they're always going. It would have been nice, though. I should have not muted it. It would have been a good background. Yeah.
There you go.
Sometimes the sirens do sound like Ecto 1, and I get very excited and think that the Ghostbusters.
It's never Ecto 1. Could not be that lucky.
I went to the Ghostbuster once, didn't I, Kat, for a Halloween thing? Well, no, was it Comic Con or something?
I can't remember. I know we were planning on both going as Ghostbusters. Was this the year that I didn't go?
Yeah, I think it was. I ended up going as a Ghostbuster, a new Ghostbuster.
Yeah. Because I still have a boiler suit, and I thought maybe I could adapt it for a Friday the 13th kind of thing.
Yeah, you gave me your, the high-vis tape that you had.
Yes.
I liked Amanda did Janine for a cosplay. We did for Liberbrae's Diviners, we decided to do a little silent video. Why called? Because we're obsessed over the fact that it sounded the storyline seemed to go down the Ghostbusters route. So I called for Ghostbusters assistance, and Amanda was dressed as Janine, and it's just it's on our Instagram, so you'll have to check that out. It's all
going up.
The video is just absolutely ridiculous.
So it's so fantastic. Winston was always my favorite Ghostbuster. Ernie Hudson, he's fantastic. I met him at a horror convention, and I told him, like, hey, you know, I used to pretend to be you when I was little and everyone made fun of me. And he said, you know, if I told people that I pretended to be you, they would make fun of me too. Like, yeah, you're probably right, but you're still my favorite Ghostbuster. And he autographed the thing for me and everything. It was great.
That's amazing.
That was very nice.
Ernie Hudson. He's so great. Luckily, I was not dressed up at that convention because that would have been awkward. It would have ruined the pictures. Unless I was dressed up like Winston, and then it would have been perfect, but also offensive.
Yeah.
Depends how far you take it.
Yeah, probably don't do that, me.
No, never do that.
Don't do that. Oh my gosh, so I think we've probably kept you guys as long as I told you we were going to keep you. So is there anything exciting that you can share with us? I know secrets, but is there anything that you can tell us that you're excited about, or just in general, just life in general? What are you excited about? What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I've got one thing that I'm excited about that I could tell you, because my US publisher has just announced it a couple of days ago. My next book, which is coming out next summer, is called Burden Falls. And again, it's kind of a horror thriller set in another weird small town. And there are like horrible rich twins and a cursed waterfall and a town mascot who's a ghost called Dead-Eyed Sadie.
Ooh.
And I think that's pretty much everything that they said. So that's all I can say.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, this is the book I was talking about when I said that I've known about the concept of it and I keep waiting to read. I'm desperate to read it, and other people, her critique partners, read it, and I'm like annoyed. Really, really, really was. I'm so glad they kept the title though. Burden Falls is so good, but yeah, I'm waiting, but I'll get it before all of you. Yay!
I think.
I don't have any news that I can share yet, though.
I want to know if the pre-release version is going to be as beautiful as the Harrow Lake one I've seen when you pull it out and it looks like it.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's a thing of majestic beauty.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it?
I would kill for a copy. Amazing, absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
If I had one, I would send you one.
They are like coveted now. People are clinging onto them.
I know. I keep hearing people saying that they bought them on eBay, and I'm like, don't tell me that. You're not supposed to be buying an ARC on eBay.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh man.
I'll put us down for an ARC for Burden Falls.
Yeah, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do for the ARCs for Burden Falls yet, but I'm sure it'll be just as amazing. Oh,
honestly. The ARCs are getting so intricate in their detail now. It's amazing. I only wish that the general release publications would release them for people to be able to buy them, and obviously the retail price would be marked up, but it's worth it to have that on your shelf.
I mean, it would be cool to do like as a collector's edition.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
I don't really want to wait for the 10-year anniversary because I'm greedy and I want it now.
That's fair. Yeah. If I track one down, I will let you know.
That's fantastic.
Okay. Is there anything else on the radar then? Dawn, have you got anything?
Nothing I can talk about. There's so much going on. There's so many different things, but I can't say anything because either it's not confirmed or I'm waiting for a contract, or just it's so with publishing, you're not allowed to say anything until things are confirmed because things change all the time. I can't say anything.
If you can't say anything, then ladies, apart from Burden Falls, which is very exciting,
yes,
where can people find you to be able to find out when things are released? Where can we find you? What's your socials?
Yeah, on my socials, best place to find me is on Twitter, where I am L_cat, K-A-T, or my website.
L as in E-L, E-L, not the letter L.
Yes, EL_KAT, or my website, which is catelliswrites.com.
For me, it's just anything with at Dawn Kurtigage, so just my name. Just a Google search will find everywhere. I'm, you know, Instagram is Dawn Kurtigage, Twitter is Dawn Kurtigage, my website is Dawn Kurtigage. So
it's so easy.
Also, we send out newsletters as well. You guys should definitely subscribe to both of our newsletters.
Already are.
Newsletters are good.
Already are. Yeah. I think I'm actually subscribed twice because I have like 6 million email addresses. So I just subscribe to everything a million times because I don't know which one I'm going to look at. So I subscribe multiple.
Same girl, same.
I stole screenshots of yours, Kat, and then posted it on Instagram. Like, look, this is us. Here we are.
I'm very excited.
Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having us on. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Speak to you.
Happy Halloween.
So that's it for this bonus episode of Fictional Hangover. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Claire.
Be sure to catch our regular episode featuring Harrow Lake by Kat Ellis. Join us next time as we celebrate my birthday and discuss After by Anna Todd. Look out for the Would You Rather poll to go along with that book on social media. Don't forget about our book club and monthly challenges on Facebook. Be sure to visit our shop on Redbubble at fictionalhangover.redbubble.com for all your favorite Fictional Hangover themed merchandise. And now become a patron of ours on Patreon at patreon.com/fictionalhangover or support us on Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/fictionalhangover. Until next time, remember, the only cure for a fictional hangover is another book.
You can find us at fictionalhangover.com, follow us on Instagram at fictionalhangover, Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fictionalhangover and on Twitter at fictionalhangover, no ER. If you'd like this episode, check out our others and rate, review and subscribe so you don't miss out. And finally, special thanks to Liz Emerson for our music. You can find her on Facebook and Patreon. Thanks for listening.